Hi, Monk Podcast listeners. The following is a sample of the Monk Members Only Podcast. To access the full-length edition of this episode and all of our regular Monk Members Only Podcasts, go to our website, www.monkdebates.com, and register for membership. Membership is free, and it's available for you right now at www.monkdebates.com. Hope you enjoy the program. Hello, Monk members. Rudyard Griffiths here, the host and moderator of the Monk Debates. Welcome to this, our regular Friday Monk Members Only podcast, where we dig into the big issues and ideas driving the news. And each week we do this with Janice Gross Stein. She's the founding director of the Monk School of Global Affairs and Public Policy at the University of Toronto, an internationally acclaimed author and scholar. And she's all ours for the next half hour. Janice, great to be in dialogue with you.
And great to be here with you, Rudyard. And we have had another challenging week. We just don't seem to get that quiet week.
That's right. Now, disclaimer on the show, we are going to skip any discussion of Omicron variants this week, because I think you and I both agree it's too early really to understand the potentially profound or far-ranging effects or not of this variant. So we're going to leave that to another week to instead dig into three juicy topics that we think we're all better off for doing some thinking on. And the first, Janice, has to be, I guess, what could only be considered a kind of a worsening of the Russia-US dialogue around the future of Ukraine. There was a meeting this week of Blinken, the Secretary of State, the U.S. Secretary of State, with Lavrov, the longstanding and pugnacious foreign affairs minister of Russia. Needless to say, I always love these diplomatic meetings where they come out and they have these kind of bywords for something that clearly didn't go very well. A candid discussion, frank remarks. What was your takeaway from that meeting, Janice? Is it bringing us closer possibly to some kind of understanding about the terms through which Russia and the United States can disengage over conflict over the Ukraine? Or is this another sign that we are in a precarious moment when it comes to security in Europe? Let's get your take.
I certainly think we are in a precarious moment, Rudyard. And you're right. That meeting only lasted 30 minutes. That's usually a sign that not much got done in that meeting. But there were important signals during the week, which offers a way forward. And let me just talk about two of them. First, Vladimir Putin absolutely put a card on the table for the first time since this mobilization began. He said explicitly, what is required to settle this issue is a secure and explicit guarantee that Ukraine will not be offered membership in NATO. For him, the real issue, he will not tolerate NATO pushing up against the borders of Russia. It's the first time he's actually said it explicitly, and it is therefore an invitation to negotiate. Blinken said, not in that meeting with Lavrov, but said explicitly, we need a diplomatic solution to this crisis. There cannot be a military solution. And interestingly enough, said if Russia moves forward and engages in any kind of military activity, there will be severe economic consequences. So there is a shifting of ground this week, Rudyard. Mm-hmm. The savvy people are getting the signals. There has to be a political resolution to this. Now, this is a nightmare for the president of Ukraine, Zelensky. We're back to an old script here. The big powers get together, strike a deal over the head of the local president. This is not a new story. We saw it happen in Afghanistan, and it sets off all kinds of alarm bells in Kiev.
But Janice, I mean, isn't this a deal worth doing? I mean, did the United States really ever have an intention of allowing the Ukraine to join as a full member of NATO? I would suggest no. I mean, the Russians made, I thought, a good point this week that conventional cruise missiles, NATO cruise missiles staged in the Ukraine could reach Moscow in 6 to 7 minutes. I mean, as you've described on another program that we had when we were discussing this issue, I mean, this is, in some ways, there's analogs here of the Cuban Missile Crisis, but in reverse, the proximity of a peer military competitor right up against your borders within striking distance of your capital just suggests to me that the Russian demand, well, but to say it mildly, highly inconvenient for the Ukrainians and creating all kinds of insecurity for them, which I'm sensitive to. But nonetheless, you know, doesn't Russia have an argument here that let's de-escalate this? Let's just say what we always knew. The Ukraine will never be part of NATO. It's just, it's not going to happen.
I couldn't agree with you more, Roger. These are the hard facts of great power politics. And here's the encouraging part of the story. The Russians and the United States know these rules and know how to play by these rules. Chinese don't yet. Mm-hmm. I actually want to draw the attention of our listeners, Roger, to some really intelligent comments that the new chief of the Canadian Defense Staff, Wayne Eyre, mm-hmm. made in Kiev. And he said just what you said. He said there is no military solution to this conflict. We will not be sending additional troops to Ukraine. He was explicit, because it is very likely they would be seen as provocative. A move like that could lead to escalation rather than any kind of resolution. And here is our top general in Ukraine saying explicitly, we need a diplomatic solution to this crisis. So I think there is grounds here for some very cautious optimism that all the major players, and Canada, believe it or not, Roger, is a major player in this one. We are a major player because we have the largest Ukrainian, Canadian diaspora, some are diaspora, many are Canadian citizens in the world. Lives in Canada. We are providing military assistance to the Ukrainians. Next, the United States. This is actually a dispute where Canada punches above its weight. Mm-hmm. All the more important to pay attention to what Wayne Eyre said.
But the settling of this dispute, Jim, is going to have to happen between Washington and Moscow. And I mean, what are the Americans trying to do here? Because if I wanted to be cynical, I would say that they are using Russia as a foil to try to herd the Europeans, and especially the somewhat recalcitrant Germans, back in under their security umbrella, back under kind of Pax Americana, saying to the Germans, the French, and others, yes, we haven't been terrifically reliable partners. Look at Afghanistan, look at the Trump era, but you've got this big bad Russian bear sitting on your border, and we're the only one to protect you. I mean, why delay? Why prevaricate? Why, again, just not come out and do this deal with Putin, acknowledge that Ukraine is never joining NATO, and, you know, ask, you know, for some commensurate.
You know, Roger, Putin is in some ways on this Biden's best friend. This is, in a sense, he's given Biden a platform to, as you say, push the other members of the alliance. But it is an alliance, and Germany and France have voices. And the Germans are explicit on this. Their view is that they will never say publicly that Ukraine has no road to membership in NATO. And they articulated that again 2 weeks ago in Halifax. There is no chance that they will agree to that. What they will do is what you are complaining about. There will be open-ended ambiguity, even though Germany knows, Ukraine knows, United States knows, we know, there is no road to membership for Ukraine in NATO. And that's what Putin is exploiting. And to some degree, it forces hard choices on the allies. I think because the European allies know very well that they are not going to advance this road, they're more confident than is Secretary Blinken and Joe Biden that this cannot spin out of control. And on this one, frankly, I agree with the United States. This could escalate. There was artillery fire this week on the border. There were local folks on the ground, particularly in the Donbas region, who have every reason to start up. So there is a dangerous game going on here.
You've been listening to a sample of the Monk Members Only podcast. To access the rest of the episode, consider becoming a member. Membership is free and available at www.monkdebates.com. Once you've joined as a member, go to your membership profile to access the rest of this episode and all of our Monk Members podcasts. Thanks for listening.